Jim, I want to put a sort of a face on this story. Tell us about your dad, why he was out there traveling by himself.
Dad was getting ready to move into a retirement home. And he lives here in Reno, Nevada, and was looking at a place here, and it seems that they have about a couple hundred of these type retirement places. And he was going, we have a lot of family in Toledo, Ohio area, five sisters and a brother, so there's quite a few family members out there, and he was going back there to see if the retirement place back there would suit his needs. And he went back there and decided, no, he wanted to come back to Reno. I think the weather may have something to do with it. So him and his dog, Lucky, which they were inseparable. He walked the dog a lot. So he
Big dog, too, right?
100-pound dog, very good dog, very good with people, just a great dog. And so he took Lucky, and he liked walking the dog to 3-4 times a day. It depends on how far they went, but we always laughed as a family that Dad was in better shape than me, his son, that's about 30 years younger. And so anyway, they decided to come back to Reno, and he called me about a week prior to him coming back, and just told me he was looking forward to coming back. And
he's in his 80s. Is he he's sharp, though?
Very sharp. He still does the crosswords every Sunday, and he still had his wits about him. He's very, we wouldn't have let him drive across the country if we didn't think he was in shape for that. And plus he had Lucky to keep him company. So we felt very comfortable in allowing him to do that.
So at what point do you find out he's missing?
Basically we had called his sister, Berna, and, found out she called us, said no, he left Tuesday morning. He left Toledo, and Thursday we were looking for him. Friday he didn't show up, and we didn't know if he had stopped and maybe stopped to see friends or try and see if there were friends in different cities, but we didn't see him, and then we saw the Reno Police Department at his apartment. We went over there to see, well, maybe came over, drove home that night, Friday night. So my brother and I, Tom, went over there, and he wasn't there, but the police were there, and they were looking for him also. So that's when we found out that they had found his car. But not him. His car was parked, or the dog.
One other question before we bring Curtis in. It's got to be tough on your family. I mean, almost worse than not knowing, than knowing something, what ultimately happened to your father, even if it's really bad news. Not knowing at all has got to be brutal for month after month.
It has been very tough on all of us. There's three boys and a girl, and it's brothers and siblings, I guess. But it's been very tough on every one of us. We just don't really know what to do. We've gone out and looked with the help of the sheriff on how to look. Looking through sagebrush, basically.
Curtis Cole, pick up the story from there. How does the car come to the attention of law enforcement where it's sitting?
This nightmare for everybody, George, begins on the morning of Thursday, April the 14th. actually a part-time dispatcher for my office, is on the way to her full-time job at one of the mines. Mining is huge in our county, gold and silver mining. And she's on the way to work at about 6 o'clock on Thursday morning, April the 14th, and she can't really tell what color the car is because it's still not completely light, but she sees a car off of the freeway. She at first thinks it's an accident, so she calls it in as such, and deputies get out there and actually find out that it's actually an abandoned vehicle sitting in the sagebrush, pulled completely off of the freeway, and really with the appearance that it's been dumped, and that sort of begins it.
And it's an odd spot. It's the middle of nowhere, right? I mean, it's way out.
Incredibly odd spot. Yeah, it's right off of Interstate 80 on the south side of the interstate. It's at an off ramp. The off ramps out here are numbered when you get way away from everything, which we are out in this county. This is a county of almost 10,000 square miles, going all the way to the Oregon border, with about 18,000 people scattered amongst that. And it was off the 205 off ramp, which is called the Pumpernickel Valley off ramp. And again, just sitting in the sagebrush. So it really had the appearance that it was more so dumped than if Pat had simply pulled off to relieve himself or to walk lucky.
You guys conduct a big search. I mean, there's a search by air, by ground.
Oh yeah, yeah. Probably anywhere between 600 and 700 man hours of searching began. As soon as we figured out that the person belonging to this car, was not anywhere around. We had four different aerial flights. We were assisted by the sheriff's office over in Reno, over at Washoe County, which is, obviously a greater size department than ours. We really, really covered that ground and are very, very confident that, plus with things that Pat's family told us, I mean, we're confident that Pat just wasn't out there.